My name is Maria Payan. I live at 104 West Mill Pond Drive in Selbyville, Delaware. I was mentioned in the gag order, however, I work for a nonprofit and the court has no jurisdiction over me in that regard. I agree with the comments that were just said by most people, by the two speakers before me, and I would like to adopt their comments rather than repeat them. The general residential zone in this parcel, I would recommend, firstly, that it just be defeated outright because of the prior history. Since they have had that permit, they have never been protective of water quality standards the entire time Mount Air has had the operation. The folks that live over there and next to the general residential parcel are, it is an environmental justice area, minority, low income. What I have seen in the community is very disturbing. And by the way, nitrates, they cause a lack of oxygen in the body. Normal, years ago, they thought that was only related to Blue Baby Syndrome. That is not the case anymore. There are all kinds of studies now. It is related to certain cancers. They are tying it into the children being developmentally damaged, disabled. So there is a lot to think about, and I will tell you that the ones who are impacted the most always are your elderly and your young. And that's in terms of not only the water quality, I'm talking about the air quality with the spray. I would recommend this be denied. I would ask you, please, because you would not want your families living there for that simple reason and past history. There have been fish kills, there have been crab kills, Swan Creek, we came and we begged you not to, you know, permit to take caution because of the sludge pond there. What happened? Exactly what we said was going to happen. Emergency went out there. You brought up the 750,000 to 100 million gallon spill. That day, we were with some of the people in the room. We're with DENREC at the Milton Library with Lisa Bogdan, the deputy secretary, working on how to build a more trusting relationship. There were signs posted outside that day about drinking the water. We asked, was something going on there? Why were there signs? Nobody knew anything. We were working on building trust. 5 o'clock that night on the news, we learned that 12 hours prior, while we were meeting with trust regulations, Mount Air had spilled almost 750 to a million gallons. And the folks are all in private wells. They were not told until 12 hours later. I don't think that's very neighborly to find out about it on TV. They have not met the TMDL in this watershed. It's not been met. This should continue to be taken out of the watershed. We need to repair our watersheds here. The fields, the majority of them in this application, if you look at the acreage, is sand, and there are slopes. Gravity still works the same way. It's part of the coastal zone, some of them. I would ask that a health impact assessment, as well as an environmental impact assessment, both be done if you are even considering approving this. I would also ask that the time period be extended for 30 days. A lot of people work during the day, so it's hard for them to comment. And one more thing. The rendering plant, the county had approved the rendering, and there's conditions on that, that if the nitrates went up, they were supposed to shut that down. Why is it still operational? It's one of the conditions on the county approval. I recommend denial.
Next speaker, please.
I'm Lou Podolsky. My wife and I have a home
on Possum Point in Millsboro. Obviously, we're closely located to both the Allen Harim and the Mount Air facility. I get my concern with this proposal is very basic. And I know you don't want to hear any more about Allen Harim, but it's really based a little bit on what happened there, where Allen Harim had committed to building a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment facility in order to get approval for their processing for the deboning operation. They were then given a requirement before they could start the deboning operation that that wastewater treatment facility be in operation. They were violently opposed to that. They appealed, and I believe Sussex County mistakenly allowed them to proceed without the wastewater treatment plant. That was the last time we ever heard anything about a new state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant at the Allen Harim facility in Millsboro at the old Pinnacle plant. They have been given permission to truck the wastewater down the road through the wetlands past the elementary school and the junior high school and all the way up to their facility in Harbison. You know, they're going to continue doing that until they're stopped for some reason, even though they had committed to a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant at their facility. Here we have Mount Air, which I know you're not happy to have us say we don't give them the benefit of the doubt, Mount Air and DENREC, but they have a history. And that history was documented by the Center for the Inland Bays when they did a study of the whole Indian River Mount Air operation. And they found that for something like 20 years, Mount Air has been violating its DENREC permits and putting more pollutants on the land than they were permitted to do. I have to give them credit, though, because the way that this was determined was when the Center for Inland Bays looked at the reports that Mount Air had submitted to DENREC. So for decades, they submitted reports showing that they were violating their permits. What did DENREC do? Nothing. So that's where we get to where we are today. So I point out to you that they are talking about a must-be state-of-the-art $50 million wastewater treatment plant. And yet, when you ask them when it'll be ready, well, they have to get permits from DENREC. We heard that from Allen Harim, too. But I'd be willing to bet, and I'm not a gambling man, but I'd still be willing to bet they have not yet applied to DENREC with plans for this $50 million wastewater treatment plant. I'd be willing to bet if they get this approved, it'll be a long time till they do so. Because the only way this expansion of their spray fields makes sense is if they intend to continue using the existing process, which gives them too much waste, too much pollutant, so they need more land to spread it on so that they can maybe hopefully get back in compliance with their DENREC permits. So I would like to see somebody do something. We can't count on DENREC, we can't count on Mount Air. I would hope we could count on Sussex County to have learned something from past experience and to say to this company, no, you need to get that wastewater treatment plant working. You need to have water coming out of your plant that's cleaner than the water that went out. And as Andrea pointed out, given all the pollution they've dumped in the aquifers around their plant, it's not surprising that the wastewater coming in is dirty. So please, if you can, put requirements on them that they actually go ahead, they develop a plan, they submit it to the state, they get working on it before you allow them to continue their operations and to expand and to spread the pollution further in Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Next speaker, please. Person Chum.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. My name is Keith Steck. I live at 210 Lavinia Street in Milton. I appreciate the opportunity to comment, and I hope you take a look at the comments that I submitted as part of the record when the Planning and Zoning Commission had a hearing last month. Those comments are in the record. They're in the posted document. I won't go over all of those comments. I don't want to repeat them. I think if you read them, you'll understand them. But I'm here because I feel compelled to speak again about some of these points. In particular, the question about errors on the application. The application says that there are three parcels and that it says that it's a little over 200 acres. I'm not sure if that was an oversight or if that was intentional. I'll also raise the question about whether we can trust Mount Air on that application, because if you look at this map up here, I think I speak loud enough where you can hear me. If you look at this, this is one parcel. There are three parcels. Two of those parcels.
Excuse me, would you come back here across? It's not just hearing in here, but people observe it online as well.
Okay, I'm going to state this again. The map's indicating one of three parcels, only one parcel. That's 200 plus acres. There are two other parcels missing. The combined acreage is over 300 on those. Two of those are bordered by neighborhoods, one to the immediate east and one to the immediate southeast. In fact, interestingly enough, in the county analysis, the county memo about this, there's no mention of that southeastern neighborhood. So I'm curious about that. I don't understand why, when I made that point in October, that the application and a memo from the engineering department included that same error. Why didn't the commission have Mount Air submit a revised, accurate acreage on that application? I don't understand that. It's in this package also. So there's a contradiction between the information that's been provided to you and the public about the application. And I'm going to submit that as part of the record with this statement. Regarding that point, another question comes up is, here we have an application for more spray field acreage. How many thousands of spray field acreage do we already have in Sussex County? This is going to be 350 more acres. I wasn't aware of what the acreage at Mount Air was using, but as they pointed out, there's 900 plus, so they want to increase it by basically a third. And I'm not quite sure I understood exactly why they want to do this spray field increase. And especially since it's the same general area and the restrictions that would apply for weather, temperature, wind, etc., would apply to that. I don't quite get the point of that. The other issue that I see with this is there's almost no discussion in the documentation about the potential environmental impact. If you look at the western edge of the parcel that's up there, that is Swan Creek. That feeds into the Indian River, which feeds into the Inland Bays. I know the memo from the Planning and Zoning Commission mentioned that people are encouraged to do the analysis or look at the environmental impact, et cetera. I think really there ought to be a preliminary requirement for some analysis of that, so you all have the information to be able to make that decision. It's really not discussed, but it seems to me that's an important consideration. The other question that comes up, if this acreage, a large part of this acreage is part of the comprehensive plan's designation of a coastal zone, why do you want to put wastewater on that kind of property that's going to potentially impact the the creeks, the rivers, the inland bays. I'm also a little confused about the application in that part of the discussion, the applications mentioned sludge. But they just stated earlier today that they're really not going to apply the sludge. So why don't they modify the application and take sludge out of it if they're not going to be applying it? Why is that there? If you approve it the way it's worded right now, you approve whatever they decide to do with something like that. And we've seen that over and over and over again, where decisions have been made, where things are approved, and you're not aware. I don't mean you, all of you necessarily, some of you are new, but in the past those decisions have been made, and we have to live with a consequence. So why is sludge in here? If it's not going to be applied, then why include it? Take it out at the very least. There's also a question of sludge. I'm confused about why DLDOT had an analysis included in this if the wastewater from the hearing before said that the wastewater was going to be applied by a pipeline. Well, does that pipeline already exist? Is that land that they're spraying some kind of putting something on there already that we're not aware of? Or are they going to build a pipeline to that site? I don't know. I've seen some kind of notices about some kind of spraying going on there now, but I don't know who's doing that. If they sublet that to a farmer and the farmer's using it, it's not clear to me. A question comes up about the quality of the water. Wastewater, by definition, includes in the industrial capacity such as this, it's both the processed wastewater and the sewage. The sanitary wastewater is included in this. That's why they don't specifically say processed wastewater. This is a vague general term that they're using because it likely or most assuredly includes sanitary wastewater. Now, the question came up, is this better water or is this worse water? Well, I think that remains to be seen. That would depend on what kind of a permit they would be issued to spray. But I can tell you from what I understand and what I've seen around here when it comes to spray water, and efforts to transition from a direct discharge permit, that direct discharge permit is much more stringent than if it's a spray wastewater. Those permits are modified down with the assumption that a lot of these spray fields are done so that the plants will, quote, take up the nutrients, so the treatment does not have to be as significant as if it's discharged directly into a creek, river, or what other source. So given that there's no permit, there's no real basis to judge and compare, what would they have if they had a discharge into a creek or something around here versus what are they spraying now? I don't know what the requirements are for the spray field operations now, but maybe that's something you want to look at. How stringent are they for the existing spray fields compared to what's going to be, that might happen with this? So the bottom line in that question is the proposed spray field wastewater going to be treated to the same standards as if it was going to be discharged into a creek or a river? And my guess is no, they won't be. And another, sitting here listening to some of the discussion and the concern about the residents of this immediate area is the same concern that exists with other locations around this county. And maybe in this situation, if you do decide to approve it, which I hope you don't, that you have Mount Air pay for all of the property around there with wells to be tested. So you have a baseline. so that the residents have a baseline of what the water quality is, and I don't mean just coliform or something like that. I mean potential contaminants like heavy metals, like nitrogen, etc. And again, so you have a baseline. So if in the future these folks have their wells tested and they find out there's a substantial increase in those things, the likelihood, you know where it's coming from, especially if nothing changes other than the fact that there's a spray field operation put in place. I think you owe it to the residents, and I think it would be a very prudent thing to require. And again, Mount Air should pay for that. It seems only fair if they're going to get use of this land for that, then that's not a big cost to them. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, ladies. My name is Leon Dudley. My address is 29234 Maysville Way, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966. I'm here as a private citizen. 2 days ago, I read someone sent me an email about this increase of land that Mountaineer wanted to acquire to filter their plant water. I'm a Google Earth geek. I'm always looking on Google Earth, looking at areas around Delaware and around the world. I immediately pulled up the intersection of Mount Joy Road and Townsend Road. Of course, I didn't have the dimensions, north, south, east, and west, of where the property was. But from that intersection, I counted a little less than 100 homes from that intersection. So my question is, how are you going to guarantee that those households, their source of water will not be contaminated, like the homes around the Mount Airy? I live in Plantation Lakes. When I first moved there, one of the residents complained about bottled water coming out of the tap water, out of the faucet. Immediately, my wife and I agreed to get a culkin system. So now our potable water is probably better. It is better than the tap water that comes out of our from the Millsboro plant. On top of that, we have reverse osmosis. So our drinking water and cooking water is better than any bottled water you could buy. Okay, now, if Mountain Air is going to continue to dump their plant water on this new area, no one knows how large the water table is or how contaminated the water table is. And my concern is if all that contamination is going to seep over across the river to the town of Millsboro, because I don't know if you could expand that map over to include the town of Millsboro. And, okay, if you see that little reservoir, like Plantation Lakes is right next to that. And that's the town of Millsboro. Okay, when Plantation Lakes is finished, is going to double the population of Millsboro. Okay, which means there's going to be more water use, more water needed. Now, I guess my question is, the Millsboro water plant is going to be overused, and if we get some of that filtered wastewater over on our side, it's going to cause our plant to work harder. So, are there any plans of maybe getting another water plant on the Millsboro side? Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next speaker, please. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in opposition? Mr. President, seeing none, we conclude the public hearing at this point. And if council desires, close public record.
We'll close public hearing. Anyone need to keep record for anything? Did we request that Denrec be here today?
Not that I know of, did we?
We were not able to get anyone from Denrec to attend today's meeting.
Okay. Were they at the planning zoning meeting?
They were not.
Okay. Anything else for?
No.
Would it be a good idea to get some input from Denrec on this?
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly if the council chooses, we can keep the public record open for specific purpose or purposes. If you want to ask questions.
I'm going to request to do that at the right time.
I'll say.
Wait a minute. Now, let's not get ourselves here. We'll ask. Well, no, we need to do that now.
Yes.
So we keep the record open.
Right.
So your motion would be to keep the record open for how long and for what purpose?
Well, Mr. Moore, I think maybe you might be able to help with this, but in the past, recent past, we have kept the record open for 30 days for us to post questions to other people.
To other state agencies?
Yes, exactly. And then they have, what, 2 weeks to get back with us?
Actually, I believe it was 15 days traditionally for you to ask questions.
That's what.
And then there would be a 30-day period for a response
from
the agency. And then after that, a 5-day period for any responses by the applicant or opposition to what those responses would be. Those comments coming after that have to be written and sent to the Planning and Zoning Office. And I also believe that our last time that we went through this exercise, we suggested it might be best to give actual dates as opposed to just saying 15 days, 30 days. So
okay.
If you would like.
Can we do that?
Well, today is the 5th, so we could indicate that.
About the 20th?
The 20th, or we could do the next time we have a county council meeting, the 19th, that all questions have to be raised by November the 19th. Any questions from council?
Okay. The agencies, yes.
And to agencies, to staff and agencies.
Right, and then response is due back by when?
That would be December the 19th. Any responses, if you did 30 days, or you could again go to a county council meeting, which would be December 17th.
17th, okay.
Okay.
Any responses have to be received from the agencies by December 17th at 4:30 p.m. And then that there would be a 5-day period for the public to comment, and that would be Monday the 23rd of December.
Okay.
At 4:30, any responses would have to be received by the Planning and Zoning Office by 4:30 p.m. that day.
Okay, Mr. President.
Mr. Lawson, is the county offices open on the 23rd of December? I just want to confirm that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Well, okay. I don't know for sure. Or not.
Interesting you should ask that. There was a conversation about the 23rd that we were going to have at a future date, but as of right now, they are open.
Okay.
Okay. Is it okay to make that motion now?
Yes.
I would move that we keep the record open until November 19th. That allows us to ask questions to other agencies.
It's going
to
leave it open for council.
For council.
Ask questions.
Yes.
To any state agency or staff.
Yes.
Okay.
And then that would give, and we'd have to have responses by December 17th at 4:30 p.m. by those agencies. And then there would be another 5-day period for people to respond in writing to those answers.
And that would be 4:30 on December 23rd.
Yes.
Okay. And that is contingent on Ms. Cornwell. Obviously, the 17th of December at 4:30. At 4:31, we would have to post on our county website the responses from state agencies or staff.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Or we at least have to make them available.
Well,
yes.
How else are they going to know about it if we don't do something with it?
Yeah. We need
the 5 days actually starts the 18th.
Okay, yes, be the 18th. But the same date, the 23rd, is the date that they would be closed. But again, as Mr. Vincent indicated, or yes, that we would have to let the public know that we'd receive the responses.
Don't we normally do that during a council meeting?
We do often do it during a council meeting, but
right.
With the timeline, she would typically come in and make a comment.
I suggest we don't do Christmas Eve on.
Why could we? Well, we're not meeting the 23rd or whatever. Council is not. But,
right.
Yeah, Mr. Lawson's not. Normally, Mr. Janelle Cornwell comes in, reports to council that the record is closed.
That's right.
That we've received the comment. And then from that point forward, it's 5 days. But now we're doing something different than that.
If the council desired, we could do the 5 days. But we need to be able to give the public a certain start point to respond.
Right.
When is the next council meeting?
January.
I would suggest that we make December the 16th, Monday, the time period for when all comments are received.
From
that way, Ms. Cornwell, the following day, it'll be on the agenda. She can report what was received. I would also echo Mr. Burton's comments that we would not expect any comments back from the public in the holiday season in short notice, so maybe give them additional time beyond December 23rd, pick a different date, perhaps later that week or even the following week, which would be Monday, December 30th.
My only concern with that is we have never left the 5-day window from what we've always done. Now you're suggesting we do that.
Only in
once we do it, we're going to have the same thing. You did it then. We want 10 days, or we want 12 days, or we want whatever days is my concern. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying be aware if we deviate from what has historically been the council practice of 5 days to comment, we have then opened another box. That's all I'm saying. We can do whatever you want to do.
I like the box being left open just because it's the holidays.
Okay, and well, against that,
never works for. Right.
So your motion is
in this situation, it's with the holidays and stuff like that. I'd be okay with going a little bit longer in this particular situation.
Okay, what's your dates?
Not generally. Well, I want to keep the record open until November the 19th.
Okay.
And that's.
For us
to ask questions to agencies and staff.
Okay.
And then that would go until December 16th for the responses back to us.
Okay.
And then that would allow another. I don't have my calendar with me.
So the public comment would start.
Public comment
the 17th. The next day, 17th.
Yes, it would start the next day.
And then ends up when.
We either have to go to the 23rd or the 30th. Because Christmas is on a Wednesday.
Right.
This is getting more complicated than it should be.
Can we just back up the 19th? Can we get our questions in a week early?
Sure.
That's okay. Mm-hmm.
How about the 20th? No, wait a minute. The 19th.
More recently we've done 15 days for council to ask questions. Do you, so the question to be posed, do you need 15 days to come up with the questions or shorter? So if you shorten up the time to ask the questions, then you still have the length of time for agencies.
It's a good suggestion.
Everybody okay with 7 days?
Yes.
So any question from council to either staff or outside agency must be submitted by close of business next Tuesday.
November 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Everybody's okay with that?
Yes.
And then that carries you to December 11th or whatever that is. Is that a calendar?
10th. It'll be December 10th.
10th, okay.
And then 5 days after that, we could go to the...
Well, I would suggest then if you did that December, let it end at December the 9th at 4:30. So then okay. Ms. Cornwell could report the at the next
on the
meeting.
10th.
On the 10th.
The 10th.
Report.
And people would have 5 days from that point forward
that to is ask, correct.
To respond back to that.
Which typically we've gone to the following Monday and then
16th,
and then Ms. Cornwell okay. would report that the very next day.
Sorry to make that so complicated, but this,
well, we're good.
This
we're
is very
good.
Important.
And we're good. We're good. We're good.
Who's they?
So
who's they?
You said this is they, I guess.
You said they can respond. Who's they?
That's
state, whoever the questions are asked of.
Are you talking about staff resources?
Whoever it is.
Staff agency.
Yeah, they, or the staff, whoever it is. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
And then subsequent to that, the applicant or any persons in opposition could.
Okay. Do I have to say that again?
They got the 5 days.
So they would have the 5 days. First, during the council asked questions of
that's
staff
the
and agencies.
The 12th.
And then subsequent to that,
the
we get the answers.
Back.
That's correct. And then the public or the applicant can respond to any of those responses we get from agencies. They can respond in writing by 4:30 on
16th.
December 16th.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
That's my motion.
I thought it was.
Finally got it.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay,
so the Councilman Hudson is that we leave public record open for council only to ask any questions of any state agency or county staff until November the 12th at 4:30 p.m., which is next Tuesday.
That's no public, right?
That's fine.
From that point in time, the state agencies or staff has until December the 9th at 4:30 to respond.
And public can't put it.
It's be reported back to us on the 10th.
Correct.
Mr. President, does that mean the public can't get in?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
And then from December the 10th to the 16th, the public, the applicant, or anyone can make comment in writing only back to P&Z due by 4:30 on December 16th.
In regards to those
in regards
questions.
To the questions or statements from the
right.
Yeah. Only that, nothing else.
But if somebody wanted to contact me personally and offer a question that they would like me to ask on their behalf, would that be acceptable?
We've never done that before, but I'm not saying we have no way to know where your questions come from.
Exactly. So
we have 5 days to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, no, you're talking about your question you're going to ask me now next Tuesday.
No, if somebody out there wants to have a question asked of DENREC or staff, and they send me an email saying I'd like you to ask this question, I'd be open to reading that email.
As long as that by next Tuesday, 4:30.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the things we have to be very careful of, too, at the public hearing is closed. So traditionally, many people, opposition and applicants, try to contact council and address different things that maybe they forgot to say at the public hearing. The public hearing is over, except for what the council is asking.
So, that case, what Mr. Rogers said, you know, you can't do that.
No. So, it wouldn't be part of the public record, but if they.
But you're asking someone else's question.
Yes, you need to be. If you have questions that came as a result of something already in the public record that you heard today or that you read in the record that's in there or at the planning and zoning hearing, you can, or just on your own questions pop up,
okay.
You can say them. But to the point that there's often this practice that all the council gets deluged with all these emails after the public hearing's over. And as you know, I've always advised you, the public hearing is over. You cannot take that information into consideration. And I advise you to not read those because they are not part of the record whatsoever. So if you have questions that you desire to ask, you can ask those. And that's what the motion will say.
I have a motion, Mr. Hudson. Second.
Second.
Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes. Now, Now, Mr. Moore read a short title, and I have a motion to defer, I'm sure, somebody.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance granting conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and GR general residential district for sludge and wastewater spray irrigation to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 351.86 acres, more or less, and subject to the motion that was just passed by Mr. Hudson and by this council made by Mr. Hudson.
Again, motion to defer.
I make that motion.
Mr. Hudson. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take a vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. We are now deferred. We're now going to move to executive session. Mr. Lawson, you going to stay up here or move downstairs?
Downstairs, please.
Okay. Entertain a motion for the executive session for collective bargaining, land acquisition, and personnel.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Hudson.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I'll be here. Now, executive session.